The conference is now being recorded.
Okay, so welcome everyone to the AER Orientation Mobility Division Professional Development Webinar Water Cooler. Our topic today is the 3D pen. Our presenter is Nick Leon. And the purpose of this webinar is to allow professionals to learn about how they can use technology in their work with learners who are blind and visually impaired so they can access map information. You will be able to ask questions and share strategies as part of this webinar, and we'll go for specific periods when Nick lets us know he's ready for questions, and then I'll remind everyone about the process to unmute your mic so that you can share. So if you've just joined us, we're asking that everyone please keep your mic muted so that we have a clear channel for Nick. It is 61# to mute yourself, 60# to unmute. 61# to mute, 60 to unmute. And again, if you haven't had a chance to download either the PowerPoint that Nick will be working from or the CE form to fill in the opening and closing code, those are available on the AER website on the division page under the resources tab, or you can go to aerom.org and it should be the first item at the top of the page there. I'm going to go ahead and give the opening code, and the opening code is V as in Victor, 0830-OM. I'm going to repeat that, V as in Victor, 0830-OM. So again, the opening code, V as in Victor, 0830-OM. And Nick, I'm sorry, I'm going to do this one more time because I think we have at least one more jump on. The way to mute your phone is 61#, and when it's time for questions, 60# to unmute. So again, if you've just joined us, please mute your line, 61# to mute, 60# to unmute when we have time for questions. The opening code is V as in Victor, 0830-OM. V as in Victor, 0830-OM. And Nick, I think we're finally ready to have you go ahead and teach us about the 3D pen.
All right, excellent. First I want to thank everybody for joining this webinar. I think the webinar format for AER is definitely a great opportunity to a different way for continuing education. So I'm glad that we're able to do this. And thank you, Chris, for putting it all together too. So let me first just start out. I want to, as Chris said, everybody should have the PowerPoint available to them that they're following along with. If you're not in a place where you can actually follow along with the PowerPoint, I will try to describe everything that's on as well as I'm talking about it. So first I want to start off by just giving an idea of what we'll be going through for the agenda. I want to give a background about myself and kind of how I came to use this technology, give an overview of the 3D pen as well as some of its different applications. Specifically, we're going to be talking about
Nick, I'm going to pause
sure.
you for a second.
Yep, we'll pause for just a second.
I'm going to remind everyone, if you could please mute your mics as you're coming online. The code to mute is 61#, and the code unmute when we get to question time is 60#. I'm going to attempt to mute everyone if I can, just to get things started here. Again, we're just trying to leave the channel open and clear for Nick to be able to do presenting.
Yep, and we'll make sure to, if people still need the opening code, we'll make sure to provide that opening code again. So for the discussion of the tactile maps, we'll talk about that, but we'll also talk about some different applications that can be used for, as well as the meat of what we're going to be talking about is definitely the techniques for use and tips. Because although this is a technology that's been around for a little while now, people have found some different issues working with it that I hope to be able to alleviate. Of course, on the presentation, because it's a live one, I have the demo for 3D Pen, but you know, if I will give resources on how to get your hands on a 3D pen if that's something that you're interested in checking out later on. So let me start off by giving a little bit about my background. I began working in the field as an instructional assistant about 7 years ago. I graduated from Western Michigan in May of 2015 with a master's in orientation and mobility, and I'm currently working as an O&M specialist out in California and going through a TBI intern program working in the school systems. So I've always had a, you know, kind of a keen interest in the technology, especially the new stuff that's coming out in our field, and how it can impact the field, and specifically, you know, when I first got into it, because my background was in manual skills, actually, as an instructional assistant using different tactile techniques, I became really interested in the different methods for tactile maps or tactile diagrams. So when I first came across this, I found a video online, and the presentation should have a link to the video. Hopefully it works as it was sent out. But it was a video that is called Seven Things That You Didn't Know Existed. And it's just kind of a geeky little YouTube video that has a bunch of, you know, new tech that comes out and little snippets on what the technology is. So in the video, it just kind of shows the 3D pen, one of the original 3D pens, which is called the 3Doodler, and shows someone writing onto paper and then also writing up into the air with the pen, and kind of the tagline on what will you create. So it's always been marketed as kind of an art pen, but as soon as I saw that video, I became really interested in how we could use it in our field for either tactile maps or tactile diagrams. And so I went and, you know, immediately researched it, looked into different resources to see if anybody was currently using it in our field, and it looked like some people had, you know, looked at the options for using it prior to it coming out, but then once it actually came out, the resources or teaching tools kind of fizzled out for it, so it didn't look like anyone had continued using it, and I have my suspicions about why that I'll talk about later. But I immediately went and researched the different options that were out there on Amazon and purchased one that had good reviews. I'll give some techniques on what types and what things you want to look for when purchasing the 3D pen. But started working with it within about 5 minutes of getting it in the mail, and have been using it in my various jobs ever since. So first, let me go ahead and just kind of give an overview of what the 3D pen is. There's also another video that kind of demos this a little bit more in detail. But the reason it's called a 3D pen is because it uses the same technology as a 3D printer. The extruder or nozzle of the 3D pen is the same one that you'd find on a 3D printer. It heats up the plastic filament in the same way a 3D printer would, and even uses interchangeable filament with the 3D printer. It does work more similar to a plastic or to a glue gun because it doesn't necessarily require any software or hardware. It's more of a press and play type of device where you can just hold down the button and draw with the pen like a glue gun. However, the plastic filament is, again, the same high-quality filament that's used in 3D printers, and so allows for a much more durable product. So what I initially started using it for was for intersection diagrams, building floor plans, and tactile maps. So it specifically, at the place that I was working at the time, I was using it to help new people that were coming to the center get oriented to the center layout. And so I would actually draw diagrams of the center. And then I would also use it for tactile maps of maybe new areas that we were going to explore. So and let me just briefly touch on, I have a slide in the presentation as well, as far as kind of what tactile maps are, because I realize that the people in this call may be from all different areas of vision rehabilitation and maybe not using tactile maps as often. So this is going to be anything that any maps that can be accessed through touch. It can illustrate complex areas or intersections. It's also used for route planning and learning unfamiliar areas. But this is typically done before the lesson. It's not normally used while traveling because it does take, you know, a fair amount of concentration and time to decipher a tactile map. So the only time that, you know, I'm typically using a tactile map while we're in the field is if it's a very simple diagram, maybe just a couple turns along a route that can be used just to check their place along the route. On the next slide, we're on slide 9, just in case anyone is having trouble following along or just joining us. The current options that I have listed for the 3D pen or for tactile maps are Wiki Sticks, Puff Paint, Wheatley Diagram Kit, the Swell Maps or Picture in a Flash, Thermoform or Braille Machines, Tactile Town, Tactile Graphics Kit, 3D Pens, and 3D Printers. So this definitely isn't an exhaustive list of all the options that are out there, but definitely ones that, you know, I think many of us have come across and ones that I still continue to use. So I think that as far as the pros and cons to this device, it's good to think about the current options that are currently out there. That way we can kind of compare some of the benefits of this device compared to other ones. So I do have, you know, some of what I view as some of the current limitations on the slide as well, but since we, you know, want this to be definitely an interactive webinar, I think it'd be a good time to allow people to kind of comment on what types of options they've typically used, which ones they find helpful, which ones they found limitations with. Just keep in mind that once we go through this part, I will answer more specific questions about 3D pens. So for this part, let's just keep it specifically to kind of comparing and contrasting the different options. And when we're discussing them, let's, you know, kind of keep in mind the different factors like texture, cost, what kind of equipment is needed, if there's any skill needed to produce tactile maps or diagrams using the current options that are out there, and just kind of general versatility. So Chris, if you want to go ahead and unmute the calls, and if anybody wants to ask or comment on this right now.
I'm going to leave it to you, Nick, to let us know when it's time to wrap up the questions, just so we can keep you in a place where you need to be to make sure we're finishing in that hour.
That sounds
so
great.
If you'd like to ask a question, we're just going to go ahead and kind of just first come, first serve, we'll say. To unmute your mic, it is 60#. And then to remute yourself afterward, it is 61#. Again, to unmute, 60#. And to remute after your question, 61#. I'm going to go ahead and start with a question, Nick. Could you talk a little bit about the materials that you would use, the filament that goes into the pen, how much it costs, where you can get it, and what the options are as far as the material that you can get, color-wise, things like that?
I'm definitely going to get into that next section. I kind of wanted to give an option, and it may be in this format that people aren't necessarily in places where they can openly discuss this, but where we can talk about just kind of some of the different challenges or benefits that they found on some of the options that you know, people typically use, like Wiki Sticks, Tactile Town, diagram kits, anything like that. And if not, we can go ahead and move on. Well, how about we'll just actually go over, you know, some of the limitations that I met, that I've come across, and if anybody else wants to comment, we'll leave it open for just a minute. So what I'm specifically talking about is just kind of things that make it maybe difficult or benefits of, you know, the different options are out there. So on the following slide after the compare and contrast, I have some of the different ones that I've come across, specifically the fabric paint. Although it can be kind of handy and very inexpensive, it does dry slowly and is often prone to wear. Some of the options like the thermoform machines or the picture-in-a-flash machines can be bulky equipment and can also sometimes be pretty expensive as well. The diagram kits, they require a lot of multiple pieces and are not always portable. I love the Tactile Town. I still use it often, but it's just not something that I can use in all settings, especially if I'm going out to, you know, work with someone in the field. And then, you know, some of the drawing kits I feel like can require skill and practice. The Tactile Graphics Kit, you know, I think sometimes it can take a little practice to figure out which tools to use and which ones produce the best lines and all that stuff. So, all right. I'll go ahead and move on to some of the different benefits that I found of the 3D pen, and then we'll talk about kind of how you can choose a pen and choose some of the different filament. So first, let me go ahead and talk about the benefits of the 3D pen. For one, I find that the it dries quickly. It's really easy to feel. So it creates a prominent line that's quite a bit different. If the people on this call haven't felt it, it's quite a bit different than what you might find with like a puff paint or even, you know, maybe closer to the wiki sticks. There's a lot of different color options. It's durable and long lasting. So I've had several maps that I made years ago that are still hold up to this day that have been used multiple times. And it is economical. I'll get into some of the different prices and where you can find the devices in a minute. And that's also really easy to use. So when I first got the device, I was literally able to plug it in, warm it up, and glance at the quick start guide for the instructions and was making maps within about 5 minutes. However, with everything, there's some limitations. And one of the ones I've run into this, and I think one of the reasons that probably has dissuaded some people from using it, is that it isn't necessarily meant to adhere to paper or whatever material you're working with. So that can be an issue because sometimes, especially for tactile maps or diagrams, we want it to stick to the paper. And if it peels off after the first use, it's not very effective. So I do have some workarounds for that. It does require access to power. A lot of the newer devices can be plugged into battery packs. But you either have to have a battery pack or a plugin. And then at times, some of the different devices that are out there have definitely had jamming issues in the past. The ones that I've primarily used that I'll talk about later, I don't find too much issue with jamming, but some are better than others for sure. To keep following along, we're on slide 14 right now, and I just want to talk a little bit about actually choosing a pen and choosing the filament. So if you search on Amazon or online for a 3D pen, there are a ton of different options that are out there. Many of them are even the same type of pen that are released under different names, so it can be a little tricky to figure out what is the best one for your needs. Especially because, as I said, a lot of them are created for more artistic endeavors, or at least that's how they're, you know, originally designed for. So when choosing a pen, I think that a few different things are helpful. One, it needs to have variable temperature control. Sometimes increasing the temperature can help it adhere better to the paper. variable speed control is also important because, especially when you're doing bigger maps, you want to be able to increase the speed so it doesn't take quite as long. But then if you're doing something that's a little more fine detail, being able to decrease the speed to make the lines more accurate is important. You want to make sure that it can use the both of the primary types of plastic that are out there, which are ABS or PLA, and I'll speak on those in a minute as well. And then just in general, kind of the ease of use and reliability. So I always just recommend that everybody read the reviews, especially if you're using something like Amazon, on which ones worked well for people, if any of them had jamming issues, because there are new ones coming out all the time. So. In regards to the filament, the plastic filament is what actually goes into the pen and what is producing the product. So there are two different types, primary types. One is called ABS and the other one is called PLA. They are very, very long chemical names that I won't even bother to try to pronounce right now. But basically, I'll emphasize that the ABS is a common thermoplastic polymer, and while the PLA is also a thermoplastic polymer or heatable plastic, it's biodegradable and made from renewable resources such as cornstarch. As far as the actual type of filament, it mainly just affects what you're using it for. So some filaments can work better with other with different applications. So in my experience, I typically use PLA because it tends to adhere better to the paper or adhere better to a surface, and it also becomes a little more durable. The ABS, on the other hand, dries a little quicker. So if you're actually trying to draw shapes up into the air, you know, you still have to anchor them to some piece of paper, but if you're trying to kind of draw them straight up into the air, it does dry a little quicker, so it's easier to make freestanding designs. And this would probably be a good time before I get into some of the general tips I use to open it up for questions again.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question or you have a comment, to unmute your mic, it is 60#.
Do you have to take it off of the silent mode too, Chris?
I believe that they can do that, but I will try that and see. What happens is I unmute all guests, and I think we'll just have a lot of sound at that point.
And I can go ahead and
answer your question at this point, Chris. So you know, like I said, the pens, one of the easiest place to find them is on Amazon, the pen and the filament. They range in price, but typically they're between anywhere from about $50 to a little over $100, depending on the device. The ones that I typically use are ones called the Scribbler 3D and the Mint Pen, and both of those are about $70 to $80. In addition, the filament is available on Amazon as well. You can buy them from a variety of different places, though. If you look on Amazon for a 3D pen filament, they have different packs that are available, and they range in colors and price. What I also tend to do, too, to save money is that for colors that I use a lot, like black and white, I will purchase the actual spools of filament for 3D printers. So like I said, it's interchangeable as long as you have a pen that is interchangeable with ABS and PLA. And so you can buy the big spools of filament and use them, and it's quite a bit cheaper than the different kits that are available.
Terrific. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. I will continue on to some of the tips of use, and you know, if you think of a question, we can always open it up again in a minute. So, as I mentioned, the device isn't necessarily meant to adhere to surfaces such as paper. It's meant to be able to be peeled off and to create 3D shapes a lot of times, and or to be drawn into 3D designs. So for my purposes, a lot of times I use it for tactile maps or tactile diagrams such as geometric shapes or even, you know, braille cells, that kind of thing. And so a lot of times I actually want it to stick to the paper and have it be pretty durable. So I have found that using a matte surface such as cardstock or any paper that doesn't have any kind of sheen, it does better with. But cardstock is definitely my preferred tool for making maps. And then a spray adhesive can also improve the adhesion quite a bit. So what I found that is when making quick simple maps with it or quick simple diagrams that aren't going to go through much wear and tear, I can just go straight onto the cardstock. But if it's something that I'm going to be using multiple times over and over again, I like to prep the paper with a spray adhesive first. And so the one that I use specifically is called E6000. It's actually a non-aerosol spray adhesive, and that's a pretty important factor because it keeps it from getting all over the place. If anybody's tried using some of the other ones that have aerosol, the glue just gets everywhere. It makes this table sticky and everything like that, or the working surface that you're on. And it also tends to leave, in my experience, it leaves quite a bit of tack on the final product as well. So the E6000 one, I found not only is it a little less messy, but it also doesn't leave any tackiness once you're done, and does a really good job adhering the plastic filament to the paper working surface. One other option that I tend to use is also canvas boards. So these are boards that are typically used for art projects. You can find them at any art store, Michael's, Hobby Lobby, and in the art section. And they're actually already prepped with what's called a matte medium, or gesso is a term that some artist people are familiar with. And it just tends to adhere really well to that surface without any prep whatsoever. And then lastly, I occasionally will use the old adhesive photo album refills that, you know, have the clear plastic paper. You peel it off and it's got an adhesive part of it, so you can just draw right onto that and it sticks really nice to that. And then you can cover it with the plastic, and that's especially nice if you're looking for something that's maybe a little weather resistant if you are actually taking the map or diagram out on a lesson. So as far as the cardstock, I use it with a spray adhesive. And when I'm doing that, sometimes I just draw freehand, but other times when I'm using tactile maps, I use map printouts. So starting on slide 18, I have kind of a description of how I usually use the map printouts. What I typically do is I go to Google Maps and actually just print out the area that I'm going to be tracing out for the map. And I either print it out on cardstock, or if I'm making a bigger one or want something a little bit more durable, I'll actually mat it to canvas board. So in the way that can be used is finding like a matte medium, almost like Mod Podge, but what I typically use is a little bit more fluid. So it's a little easier to brush on and doesn't leave as much of a texture. Again, it's something that can easily be found at Michael's, Hobby Lobby, anything like that. And so I can mount it onto the canvas board, brush on the matte medium, let it dry, and then draw using the 3D pen on top of that, and it creates a really nice durable map that the 3D pen sticks to really nice. And then in some cases, I've used that to make poster size ones where I print out the posters, print out the same map printout, but enlarge it over 4 to 6 pages and still map mount it onto a canvas board and then trace it out using the 3D pen. So on slide 21, there's actually just kind of a time-lapse video that shows me tracing out one of these maps that I've printed out and mounted on canvas board. The thing that you'll notice about it is I'm doing it freehand and just tracing out the map. I have found it really easy using this device to draw long straight lines. Because it's kind of a thicker material, it tends to stick to the line that you're drawing and doesn't spread too much. It doesn't bubble or anything like that. So it can be really easy to draw nice, crisp lines, especially if you're tracing out something. And if we want, we can go ahead and take a quick opportunity for questions, too, if anybody has one before I move on to some of the different potential applications that it can be used for.
Nick, this is Chris. I was hoping you could share with everyone how they could go about finding your YouTube channel, so to speak, to see some of those videos that we just have the static picture of, because I know you prepared some videos over the last few years that might be helpful for people if they do pick up a 3D pen to be able to kind of have a demonstration of how they go about it.
Yeah, definitely. So on the resource page, probably the easiest way to find is I have a Facebook group that I've created called 3D Pens for Vision Rehab, and there's a link to it. If it doesn't work on the presentation format, we can also try getting it out to everybody a different way. But you can also search 3D Pens for Vision Rehab on the Facebook page. In addition, what you can also do is go to www.bosma.org. This is the company that I first worked with when I was developing this device or developing these techniques and the videos. And so it's there are some different instructional videos and getting started videos through their webpage. It's also listed on the Facebook profile there too. I have it linked to them. And then if you search YouTube period, you can find all kinds of different, if you look for 3D pens, you can find all kinds of different videos that offer a lot of different types of techniques for using the devices, and then also gives a lot of templates as well too, for how to use the device to create different objects. Any other questions? Okay, so moving on to the other applications. Again, as I indicated at the beginning of the presentation, I typically use it for simple tactile maps, but there's definitely a lot of different things that it can be used for. So on the other applications on slide 22, I have listed concept development, mathematics and geometry instruction, especially just even basic shapes. It can be really nice to be able to trace out some of those things that are, you know, either time-consuming to produce on different mediums or, you know, not available depending on if you're, you know, using auditory methods for that type of instruction. It can even be used for labeling. What's nice about it is, again, it makes a really durable plastic product. So the way I typically have done this for labeling is I'll write it out on something that I'm planning on peeling it off, so either just a regular piece of paper or even a like photo paper that it really doesn't adhere to at all. Draw on that way, I can easily peel it off. And then I either use an adhesive on the back of it, or there's also, you know, kind of double-sided tape or adhesive stickers that you can put on the back of it. And adhere it to either appliance or whatever you're trying to label. And then you can also use this to some degree for modifying and labeling 3D printed objects, so things that are already printed on a 3D printer. You can use this to either make additions, maybe Braille letters or different additional lettering options. And the only condition for it is just that it has to be an unfinished 3D printed object. So for example, I have tried using it on Tactile Town, and without an additional adhesive, it doesn't necessarily adhere to those pieces because they're finished with a paint and primer. So as long as the 3D printed object hasn't been painted or finished in any ways, you can modify it that way. After that slide on 23, I also want to just kind of briefly touch on some of the alternative options. So one question that I get a lot of times is, you know, can this be used specifically with students or the clients that I'm working with? And obviously it just depends on the client, but one of the big issues is the high temps of the 3D pen. So it to actually heat the plastic to where it becomes melted or moldable is it gets up to about 200 degrees Celsius, so somewhere close to, you know, 300 to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. So obviously, depending on your client, you know, especially if it's a younger kid, it wouldn't necessarily be something that you would want them to use. But there are some options out there now that are no heat options. A couple of the ones I've listed on the presentation are CreoPop and Poly's Q1. Those both use a special filament that's different than the ABS or PLA and actually is set using a UV light as opposed to heating them up and cooling them down really quickly. So there are a lot of videos demonstrating this technology. And then now one of the big producers of 3D pens, 3Doodler, has also created one called the 3Doodler Start. And that one I know for a fact I've seen a lot at Michael's and different craft stores. And that one also uses a different filament. I believe it does have a small heating element inside, but the actual pen itself does not get hot, neither does the nozzle. And one other benefit of that one is it actually has a built-in battery, so you can charge it and use it without being plugged in. About the only downfall that I've had with that one is that it is a different filament, and it's not quite as durable as the plastic, so over time it may wear down a little bit more than the current 3D pen that I'm talking about and the different plastics. But especially if you're having a student use it, it would be perfectly acceptable for short-term use.
Nick, I'm going to pause
you
for a second. Somebody actually sent me an email saying they were trying to get through to ask a question, so I'm going to try that global unmute, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Sure.
So here we go.
The conference is now in talk mode.
So I think we've got everybody unmuted.
Nick, hello?
Hello.
Okay, I'm sorry. We keep getting the message that the unmuting is not possible every time we try to get
yes.
in.
Yes. Okay.
Exactly.
So again, if you are wanting to ask a question, we're just going to try to rely on everybody to please keep your phones muted when you're not asking a question with that 6-1 pound to mute yourself if you're not asking. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, let's go ahead and open it for plenty of questions right now then.
Okay. This is Ricky Lynn, and I just had a question about the cost of the filaments. You'd mentioned the cost of the actual pens, but what is it generally for a spool? What is it for a kit? And how much is it for these special no-heat filaments?
So obviously when you're getting into the no-heat ones, those are proprietary filaments. In many cases, so they're specific to the devices. So in general, they're going to be more expensive. So the CreoPop, it has different tubes. Even the 3Doodler Start, which is the one that is like a portable device. It has special filaments as well. Now, the price is going to range on that one. But what I will say is that for the main 3D pen, typically a big spool of the stuff that's used for the 3D printers is going to be somewhere between $20 and $30. And it depends on the size, but it's going to go really far. Honestly, I tried to do a rough estimate on the math at one point, and I think in general, you're probably looking at, cents on the dollar to create a small tactile map if you're buying, if you're buying it in the spools. If you're buying the specific 3D pen filament, it's going to come in sections of about 20 feet.
The conference is now in silent mode.
And I don't think that in general I use more than maybe a foot or two, because it stretches out, of actual filament per map. So if you kind of base it on that, then you can figure out, based on what the price is that you're looking at, how far that will go for you. But like I said, I recommend looking on Amazon. There are a ton of different options out there. If you're finding that you're using, a specific one too often, more than where it's getting expensive, then look at the spools that are used for the 3D pen printer, and that can be interchangeable.
Nick, I'm going to unremove the mute again so that somebody can ask a question.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Does that help answer the question, Ricky Lynn?
It does. I understand that you said the spools were 20 to 30. What's the I assume the kits come with a variety of colors, and what generally does a kit cost?
Yeah, they do come with the different colors. So for one of the ones that I typically use, the Mint 3D pen, again, most of them are completely interchangeable, but you just have to make sure that's with the pen that is interchangeable. So the main one that isn't interchangeable is 3Doodler. Does not recommend that you use other 3D filament with that one. So they sell their own, and it is significantly more expensive. But the Mint 3D pen, so that's one of the ones that I use, and they sell their own filament refill pack. And, I know that their refill packs are typically about $10 to $15, and they're going to come with 10 different colors and about 20 feet of each. So they typically, like I said, sell them in 20 feet. So, out of just one of those colors, you get 10 of them. Out of just one of those colors, I'm sure you could make at least 10 to 20 maps or 10 to 20 diagrams depending on how detailed they are. So on that, doing the basic math, maybe you're looking at 50, less than 50 cents a map, if that.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Hello, Nick.
Yes,
I have a question about, this is Wendy, by the way. I have a question about the spray adhesive that you're using to prep the cardstock.
Yep.
So do you also get that on Amazon?
It is available on Amazon. It's also available from Michaels as well. It's called E6000.
Okay.
They offer it in a variety of different formats. They have tubes of the E6000 spray adhesive, but the one that I'm specifically talking about is a non-aerosol spray adhesive. So E6000 spray adhesive, and I imagine any type of, again, the big thing is just making sure that it doesn't leave, residue on the map that's tacky or anything like that. But also, like I said, I use that one specifically because there's no issue with cleanup. So that's the only one that I've come across that is non-aerosol.
Do you have to let it sit for a while? Do you have like a time frame that, okay, I maybe have to get it ready the night before I use it?
No. The spray adhesive typically dries, you know, is dry enough within, 30 seconds.
Oh, great.
So,
thank you.
So normally what I do is I plug in, because the pen takes about 60 seconds to warm up. So I plug in the pen and start it up. And then while I'm doing that, while that's heating up, I spray the surface, you know. And then what I typically use is just either like a paper towel or a tissue just to dab the spots where maybe some of it pooled a little bit, you know, so it dries quicker. But normally it's, you know, 30 seconds or so.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I actually
Any
had
other
a question.
Questions? Yeah.
Yes, I actually had a question. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so I work with younger children, so they're more, you know, they're going to be more hands-on and, you know, the hand strength. Is the you think the PLA is more durable and more of the material that I should use? And you, I think the other one you said was ABS. Would you recommend using the more durable that might dry a little longer?
I would, yeah, the PLA. And really, I should clarify, that's a good point. I should clarify that when I say it takes a little longer to dry, really we're talking about the difference between 5 seconds and 10 seconds.
Okay, so it's not really that much longer.
No. I mean, it's still, it's all these, as you're drawing with the 3D pen, it pulls to the touch within, you know, within seconds, you know. So, you're able to use the map within seconds of actually producing it. So it's not like it has like a set time where it has to set for a certain amount of time overnight. Literally, you just have to let it cool down enough where it's not hot to the touch, with
the
which
is
normally
is now
in between 5 to 10 seconds.
You watch
the conference is now in talk mode.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. And I also missed the opening code. Can you repeat that code also?
Yeah, sure. The opening code was V0830-OM.
O-N?
M as in Mary.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
My name is Jennifer. Thanks. I have two. One is that you mentioned before in the very beginning that you didn't have a lot of blotting problems, which is great. And I wanted to know, what was the uniform consistency when you're making lines? Do you find it to be pretty persistent lines when you're pressing down on the pen, or is there a difference in pressure which provides thicker or thinner lines?
No, honestly, like I said, it's a really consistent device that is going to produce uniform lines. What determines the thickness of the line is how fast you're moving it across the surface. So again, it's, you know, more or less stretching out the plastic across the surface. So if you move it really slow, with the speed set really slow, it's going to create a much thicker line, where if you're moving it really fast, it's going to create a thin, almost stringy line. So it does take a little bit of, you know, just trial and error to kind of figure out what speed you want to use it at, depending on what type of lines you're doing. But in general, the uniformity of it, you're not going to get the blobs like you would with a fabric pen or a glue gun. I've never had anything like that unless I had the speed up too high and left it there for too long, you know, where it kind of created a bigger one. But the nice thing about this is that because it dries so quickly, it gives you two options. One, a lot of times you can just go back over the line and right next to it, and it just kind of melds together almost, is probably the best way to describe it. So you can kind of double up on the line really easily. But then the other thing that's nice is that because it dries so quickly, if you do make a mistake, most of the time I just use an X-Acto knife, and right before the mistake, I just kind of cut it off and pry it off of the map and redo it.
Okay, so you're prying it off. You can just kind of take it off and
If you're using the spray adhesive, it's going to pull up a little bit of the cardstock, you know, but you're going right back over the line, so it's not really an issue.
Okay. And I have one more question, if you have time.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You mentioned how you can take the 3D structure off the paper if you don't use the spray adhesive, because that's what a lot of people do. And
mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if you've experimented with that, making maps,
yeah.
as far as peeling it off the paper itself.
Thank you, from Montgomery.
The conference is now in silent mode.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, I have experimented with that quite a bit. So, one of the questions I get asked a lot about this is, you know, for making different types of, can you make different, like, more of objects with it, 3D objects, similar to like a 3D pen, and you can. It takes a little bit more practice, but what people typically have tried to do is they try to actually draw into the air with it, you know. So if you want to make like a little house, you know, they draw the bottom line, and then they draw up one side, and then they try to stretch it across. And frankly, it's just not great at doing that. It's kind of hard to do. It does take a second for it to dry, so the lines can be kind of inconsistent. So what, you know, the majority of the developers recommend is actually drawing out the object that you're trying to make. So let's say, for example, house, you would draw it out on a piece of paper and then peel it off. So you maybe would make four walls, peel them off, and then you'd use the 3D pen to almost weld together the different corners. Just put, you know, a couple dots in the different corners of the walls to hold them up, and then you can, you know, do the same thing with the roof. So the nice thing is that most of the developers, 3Doodler, Mint 3D, Scribbler 3D, and even just different resources online, which are all listed at the end of the presentation, have a ton of different templates that you can just print up and trace it out and then peel it off of the paper, and it, you know, gives instructions on how to put it together. So I've seen, I mean, there's even one for an Eiffel Tower, but there's one for houses, different three-dimensional geometric shapes like hexagons or spheres or anything like that. And then there's even fun ones like sunglasses and different toys and stuff. So I think I've even seen some fidget spinner designs on there now with that recent craze.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Any other questions?
I have a quick question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Shannon, and my question is about landmark usage. So I'm looking at your slide number 21, where you have outlined kind of the land, if you will. But I'm wondering if you are working with someone. I work a lot with people who are deafblind. I use tactile maps often, so I'm very excited about this.
Were mailed out to our wedding.
If you
the
use
husband
actually,
and wife and
sorry,
kids are all in
I'm sorry, I'm having. I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble
you know,
here.
You're looking at 900 people that were invited to our wedding.
Whoever's talking about their wedding, if they can mute their phone call so I can hear the question again.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Okay, do you want to try again?
Sorry. Yes, I'm going to try again. So I'm looking at slide number 21 where you've outlined the blocks, if you will. But I'm wondering if you have ever actually used some sort of landmark, like maybe done circles or squares or triangles or different sorts of shapes to identify specific landmarks that the individual may be encountering on their route. Do you do that as well?
I have,
or do you just
often
typically outline?
I have often. And again, one of the nice things about this pen is that the filament adheres to itself, so you can draw lines over the lines that are already there. So, for different ones, I either, you know, I'll do circles and I'll kind of fill in the circle, or, on that same map, we actually have like a monument in the middle of Indianapolis, and I've made it almost like a conical shape, rising from that part is kind of a landmark. But I've also used things like stars, and so you can draw the outline for that landmark, and then you can just fill it in too, and it all adheres really nicely to itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, even if you decide you want to add it on later, you can still do that, and it's still going to adhere really nice to it. So again, just kind of trial and error, but it does. It's not like once you make a shape with it, you can't go back to it. It will stick to itself. So, and one of the reasons I really like it is because I can sit there during a lesson and actually be drawing out the shapes and, you know, asking the person, okay, does this feel, you know, like something, you know, that you can remember? Is this different from this shape over there? And that way I can edit it and make adjustments as I need to without having to, okay, you know, let me take it back home and I'll work some more with the puff paint or I'll work some more with the fabric paint. I'll bring it back tomorrow and we'll see if that's better. Just having to redo the whole map, I can actually work on it with the client and have a, you know, have a perfect map that's suited for them by the end of the session. So
the conference is now in talk mode.
So that real time ability to make edits to it and have the person right there with you touch it and make sure that that makes sense to them is a real benefit that you see.
Yep, it's huge. It's so helpful, okay. Yeah. Because like I said, you know, with some of the different options, it's a matter of, you know, drawing out another line and then waiting an hour for it to dry, you know. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? We have just a couple minutes left, and I'll give the closing code in just a second.
This is Karen again. She just asked a question about making the three-dimensional buildings. Did you make them first flat and then build upon it, or is it better to draw it all out and then take it off of the page wherever you're drawing? Which is the most effective way where it dries the best?
I think it depends on the size, but if you're trying to make a bigger one, it's better to draw it all flat and then put it together. And you can still make additions after that, but if you're looking to get the general shape to actually get a good structure that holds, it's better to draw it out flat and then piece together the different options. And if you look at the different templates that are out there, it'll give you a really good idea of what I'm talking about, you know, the different ways that you can kind of piece together structures for it. But if you're looking for specific small landmarks that you want to make there, you can make those pretty easily depending on what you're doing. So.
Nick, I'm going to pause you there. And is it okay if people email you if they have additional questions?
It is, but let me actually, before we give the closing code, let me give everybody an update email because I didn't realize that my old email was actually still on the presentation.
Oh, okay.
I thought I had changed that. So it's NickLeon86, so that's NickLeon86 at gmail.com. Does anybody else need that again?
Why don't we do that one more time, just in case?
Sure. NickLeon86, so NickLeon86 at gmail.com. If anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out to me. There are a bunch of resources on slide 25 that give different instructions and stuff like that. And then the Facebook group is also a good option as well.
And before you give the closing code, I'm just going to put in a code real quick so we can hear how many people are on the call. I'm going to give a little bit of instruction about the ACV REP credit, and then we'll be ready for that closing code. So 1 second while I put in a code to hear how many people logged in for today.
There are 34 parties in this conference, including yourself.
Okay. And so for everyone that would like to get ACV REP credit, the only way that AER will know that you attended is by you submitting the CE form, which again you can download on the division website under resources, or you can go to aerom.org, aerom.org to download that form. You're going to complete the form with the opening and closing code, provide feedback for Nick, and you're going to email that to nana@aerbvi.org. That's N as in Nancy, A N as in Nancy, A, at AERBVI.org. Nana at AERBVI.org. And Nick, we're ready for that closing code.
Okay, it's 2529-2017. Again, 2529-2017.
And Nick, thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us today. We really, really, really appreciate it. And again, everyone, if you
thank
have
you.
Questions, please do email Nick. I know he enjoys this very much, and we've certainly enjoyed learning from you, Nick. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Would you repeat the opening code?
Sure, yeah. It's V0.
I'm sorry, I can't
V as in Victor.
I'm going to mute everybody else here for a moment.
So the opening code again. The opening code again is V as in Victor, 0830-OM as in Mary. All right. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you so much, Nick. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.